Today's daf is Shabbos Taf Kuf Ches, and we are 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Zayin Amid Beis, the two dots, Had Sodon Litzoyrech Chaye V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schutz Rafu Shalema. The Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avram Ben Gittel, Yitzchok Elio Ben Chaye Sara, Avram Kaddish Ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekusil Ben Gittel, Chana Gittel Bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shai Yoshev Ben Baba Chaye Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo Ben Basya, Chaim Ben Yama Mordechai Ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shlomo Zizkin Ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi Ben Chana Henela, Yerachmil Tzvi Moshe Ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv Ben Krindel, Yael Bas Bela, Shoshana Tova Bas Hadasa, Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Hadasa, and Chava Serol Bas Chana Freida. Today's daf's also being learned. Le'ilu Nishmas Tova Hadasa Bas Doiv Beresh, Yechiel Yosef Ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Mezeb Ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Zizkin Ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi Ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So yesterday we began the 14th Perek of Masech de Shabbos, Perek Shmoyne Shratzim, which deals with the halachos of Choyvel b'Shabbos and the halachos of Tzod b'Shabbos. The Mishnah said Shmoyne Shratzim Ha'amur b'Torah, as it relates to the 8 Shratzim that the Torah mentions in Parsha Shmini, that are not only Aser ba'Achila, but they are Tomei as well. Hatzodon, if someone would catch them on Shabbos, v'achoyvil b'hem, or if somebody would bruise them on Shabbos, chayiv, he would be chayiv. V'shar shkotzim v'remosim, as it relates to other shkotzim v'remosim, meaning not the Shmoyne Shratzim Amurim b'Torah, hachoyvil b'hem potter, if somebody would bruise them, assuming no blood would physically leave the body of the shkotzim v'remosim, assuming the Sheketz and the Remes wouldn't die, that Lachi is the one that did this would be Potter. Hatzadon, if someone catches them, then it depends. Litzoyrech Chayev, if he did it Litzoyrech, he would be Chayev. Shaloi Litzoyrech, if he did it however, Shaloi Litzoyrech, Potter, he's going to be Potter. So the Mishnah is distinguishing between the Shmoyne Shratzim and other Shkatzim V'Ramasim as it relates to not the laws of Toma V'Tahaira, but rather as it relates to Hilche Shabbos. Specifically, if someone is Choyvel, or if somebody is tzad, as it relates to chayvel, that was the topic of yesterday's daf. As it relates to tzad, so with regards to the Shmoyne Shratzim, the Mishnah simply said hatzadon chayiv. As it relates to the shar shkatzim v'ramasim, there the Mishnah said it depends. If you were tzad litzayrich, you're going to be chayiv. If you were tzad shaloi litzayrich, you're going to be potter. Says the Gemara, man tana, who's the tana of the Mishnah that holds that the only time somebody is chayiv for being tzad, one of the other shkatan v'ramasim, not one of the Shmoyne Shratzim Amurim b'Torah, he'll be chayiv for the malach of tzad, but only if he did it litzayrich, meaning only if he wants this sheretz. But if he did it shaloi litzayrich for some ulterior motive, in that case he's going to be potter. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Rav Shimon, it's probably Rav Shimon da Amar malacha she'en etzricha legufa potter ala. Rav Shimon holds that a person could do a malacha on Shabbos and still be potter. For example, if it's eina tzricha legufa, you didn't necessarily want the positive outcome of this malacha, in that case, you're going to be potter. So if someone is tzad litzayrich, it's a malacha she'tzricha legufa. If you're tzad shaloi litzayrich, it's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. The mission that distinguishes between tzricha legufa and not tzricha legufa is going according to Rav Shimon that holds a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is potter. But enochinami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chayiv, you would be chayiv, whether you would tzad litzayrich or you would tzad shaloi litzayrich. Some had this comment that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that the Mishnah's Rav Shimon, who holds malacha shein tzricha legufa, not on our Mishnah in Perek Shmoyne Shratzim, but rather on another Mishnah, a Mishnah that we saw in yesterday's daf. Hamapis more sufficient Shabbos. If somebody pops a boil on Shabbos, im laslap, if the reason he did it was because he wanted it to have an opening for it to breathe, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Im lo hitz mimeni lecho, if he didn't want to create an opening, he didn't want the opening to be there for any extended period of time, then potter, he's going to be potter. If he wants the opening to be there for an extended period of time, he's chayev either mishum boina or for makav apatish, like Rashi said on Amid Aleph. If he did it just lahoitzim imenu lecha, he's going to be potter. Meaning you can do the same halacha, sometimes you chayev, sometimes you potter. What does it depend on? On what your kavana is, what you want as a result of the malacha. On that mantano, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, this must be Rabbi Shimon. I'm a malacha she'en tzricha legufa potter la. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds a malacha she'en tzricha legufa is chayev. What difference does it make why you did it? At the end of the day, you should be chayev. They get the maslacha. Some had it regarding another mishnah. Also a mishnah we saw yesterday. If somebody traps a snake on Shabbos, if the reason he did it was because he was afraid it was going to bite him, Potter. Not only Potter, we saw yesterday Potter umutter. Im l'refuah, if he did a l'refuah chayiv. Again, you can beat tzad nachash and be chayiv. You can beat tzad nachash and be Potter. It's the same action. In one case, because your kavana was kach, you're chayiv. In the other case, because your kavana was kach, you're potter. Who's the one that cares about what your kavana is when you do a melacha? Man tana, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav Shimini. It must be Rav Shimon the amar melacha she'ena tzricha legufa potter ala. So, in other words, the Mishnah that said that if somebody's tzad, one of the sharsh gotzim v'ramasim, if it's l'tzarech he's chayiv, if shalai l'tzarech he's potter, says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda said it, in the name of Rav, the Mishnah must be Rav Shimon that holds a malacha she'ein etzricha leguf as potter. Because according to Rav Yehuda, that a malacha she'ein etzricha leguf is chayiv, it shouldn't matter. Something that the Rishonim discuss is if that's the case, then why is it that with regards to the Shmoyne Shratzim Amurim B'Toyro, the Mishnah simply said, Hatzadon chayiv? Why don't we make the same distinction? You're only chayiv if it was l'tzarech, not if it's shalei l'tzarech. If the reason the shar shkatzim for a muslim, you're only chayiv if you would sell l'tzarech, is because the Mishnah is going coin to Reb Shimon that holds a malacha shein yitzricha l'guf as potter. So does malacha shein yitzricha l'guf care whether it's one of the shmoyne shratzim or not one of the shmoyne shratzim? That's something that the Rishonim discuss. One other thing that I think is worth mentioning, so we've seen throughout the Masechta, Melacha Shein Etzricha Lagufa, Machloikis between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. The Gemara just brought now three Mishnayos, three Stamet Mishnayos that only work according to Reb Shimon that holds Melacha Shein Etzricha Lagufa is Pater. And the truth is, almost all the Rishonim Paskin, like Reb Shimon, that a Melacha Shein Etzricha Lagufa is Pater. And this Gemara would certainly seem like a smach to that. We have three Mishnayos that all work according to Reb Shimon that don't work according to Reb Yehuda. And it's a little bit of a chiddush. Because really, whenever there's a machloikis between Reb Yehuda and Shimon and Shas, the Halacha is like Reb Yehuda. Stam Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Bar Yechai, and Kedai Reb Shimon Lismachal B'Shas Adchak, and Lasud Lavoi, when Mashiach comes, the Halacha is going to be like Reb Shimon, just like it's going to be like Beishamai. But in this world, we don't paskin like Reb Shimon. So if it's a machloikis Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, the rule throughout Shas is that the Halacha is like Reb Yehuda. But this is one of the exceptions to the rule where even though it's Reb Yehuda against Reb Shimon, the Halacha is like Shimon. There is, however, a Das Yochid that's worth mentioning, and that's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam says in the beginning of Hilcha Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, Kala Oysa Melacha B'Shabbos, Afal Pisha Einoi Tzarech L'Gufa Shal Melacha, even if it's an Einoi Tzarech L'Gufa, Chayev Aleh, he's going to be chayiv. The Rambam clearly paskined, not like Rav Shimon, but rather like Rav Yehuda. And the Raivin immediately, Omer Avram, Rabbeinu Chananel Zal Posik, Rav Shimon, Shehu Poiter. Either way, it's a big discussion in the Rishonim. But the Rambam, for the most part, goes down as a Das Yochid. Whereas all the Rishonim pass like Rav Shimon, that a Malacha Shein Yitzricha Legufa is Potter, the Rambam holds a Malacha Shein Yitzricha Legufa is chayiv. Omer Shmuel. If somebody takes a fish out of the yam, so in yesterday's daf we spoke, in the daf before that, we spoke about catching fish on Shabbos. What's the issue? Tzad. Here we're talking about where there's no issue of tzad. You have it confined already, where it's nitzad va'oymed, so there's no tzad issue. The question, however, is, if you're going to take the fish outside of the yam, you're going to kill it. So if that's the case, you should be chayifish tilos neshama. So Shmuel said, kimet sheyavish by gesel, as soon as it becomes a little bit dry, how little? The size of a cella of the fish dries out chayiv, you're chayiv in the tilos neshama. Rabbi Yisbar Abin, Rabbi Yisbar Abin said, you have to read the fine print. Ben Sampir, if it's only true, if that area that's the size of a cella that became dry is between the fins of the fish, Rav Ashi further qualified this halacha and said, lo yitemi yom v'shmamish, it doesn't have to be really dry. Elafilu d'avid riri, even if it gets a little sticky, which means it's starting to dry, that would be enough for you to be chayiv. Bar Hamduri said, "Amash Shmuel, the name of Shmuel. Hush, yodel lebein behema. If somebody sticks his hand inside the rechem of a behema, the dildol ubra shebe meyaya, and caused this animal to miscarry. So this was a pregnant female animal. Somebody stuck his hand inside the rechem and caused the baby to miscarry on Shabbos. Chayiv, he's going to be chayiv." Says the Gemara, "My time. What's the reason that he's chayiv?" Omar Rava. Rava said, "Bar Hamduri asked really. I'll tell you what Bar Hamduri himself told me. Lav Omar Rav Sheishes, because Rav Sheishes said, 'Hi man, the tolish kishusa mi his midihigi.' If somebody would detach hops from the bushes in which it grows, mechayiv, he would be chayiv. Why? Mishum oikudav migiduloi, because he detached something from the place that it grows. Hachanami, so to hear, mechayev mishum oike dover migidula. In other words, if somebody causes a baby, an animal to miscarry, the reason he's chayev is because he's a oike dover migidula. He detached something, and you're not allowed to detach something on Shabbos. Now, how do you know you're not allowed to detach something on Shabbos? Truth is, there's two malachas. There's the malacha of koitzer, and there's the malacha of goizes. Goizes is when you detach the wool of an animal from the animal. Koitzer is when you detach something that's attached to the ground from the ground. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim whether
the Gemara means koitzer or the Gemara means goizes. But the point is that Bar Hamduri said that you see from the fact that if someone would detach hops from the hizmi vehigi, the halacha is he would be chayev, even though you're not really detaching something from the ground. But what you're doing is you're attaching something from its makom gidulo, from the place that it grows. So if you do that, that's enough for you to be chayev. So the same is true if somebody would detach the animal from its mother, cause it to miscarry, the halacha is you would be chayev, you'd be chayev because you were an oiker dover migidul. The obvious question is, why aren't you chayev for killing the animal? So this would seem to tie into the sugyas that we've spoken about so many times, and that is an uber, a fetus. How does halacha treat it from a life perspective, abortion? We've done many raid bites on this, the income koima. But either way, so Bar Hamduri said, Hachanami mechayev, shum oiker dover migidul. Abaya said a similar halachaim on the talash, pitra meuna de chatzpo. If somebody removes a fungus from the handle of a pitcher, mechayev, he'll be chayev as well. Because the fungus is growing on the pitcher, so if you now detach it, even though it's not your classic koitzer, it's not your classic goizes, but you're an oiker dover migidul, you're gonna be chayev. Rav Ishaya asked the Tosfos, it's not chayev. The Mishnah said earlier in the Masechta that if somebody detaches a plant from a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom, means it's receiving nourishment from the ground, he's chayev, because it's like you detach something from the ground. But if you would detach something from a notzitz that's not nakuv, that doesn't have a hole in it, you would be potter. What's the reason? Because you didn't detach it from the ground. So you see, the only time you're chayev is if you detach it from the ground. Why don't you say that it's oiker dover migidulo, even though it's not the ground? But why is that different than the animal inside its mother's womb? Why is that different than the hops? Why is it different than the fungus? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's different. Hasav lav haynu revise, hacha haynu revise. Because to have a plant in an otzitz she'ine nakuv is unusual. It's unusual, and being that it's not something that's typical, it's for that reason, if somebody detaches something over there, you'd be potter. Everything else that we mentioned up until this point, even though it's unconventional, but it's not unusual, the reality is that fungus grows sometimes on pitchers, and the kishusa grow in the hizmi vihigi, and animals become pregnant and will have a child inside. So there's nothing unusual about it. Being that it's not unusual, it's for that reason you're going to be chayev. Chaya v'oif. The Mishnah then went on and to talk about if somebody would be chayvel or somebody would be tzad a chayev oif, what would be the halacha? So the Mishnah said chayev oif shabishusoi, if it's in your rishos already, hatzadon pater, because you're not doing tzad, it's in a state of nitzoidim v'oimdim. V'chayvel behem, however, if somebody would be chayvel, chayev, he would be chayev. Omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, koisvin tfilin al gabi or shall oif tar. You're allowed to write tfilin on the or, on the skin of an oif tahar. Meaning, even though it's an oif, still it's okay. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Maika Mashmon, this layer, what's the chiddush? That the or of an oif, of a bird, is considered or. Tanina, I know it from a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? Shabbos, Taf Kuv Zayin, Perik Shmoy Nishrotzim. The Mishnah says, Achoyvel behem, if somebody's choyvel in an oif, chayiv. What does it mean he's chayiv? Yesterday's daf, the or is real or. So if the or is real or, and that's why you chayiv for choyvel, then it's posh, you should be able to write tefillin on it as well. So what's Rav Huna's chiddush? Koisvin tefillin al gabei or shal oif tar? I know from the Mishnah. Because it would seem that the shayla, whether you could write tefillin or not write tefillin on an oif, is dependent on, is the or is it not or? From our Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, you know, so he told Rav Yosef, as he always does, underrated. So Rav Yosef said something, and Abaya asks Akash to Rav Yosef, says, what do you mean? There's a tremendous chiddush. We only had Mishnah, I would have given this like nikfi loy. You would think that maybe there's a different reason why you're not allowed to write tefillin on the or of an oif. You're right. Is it or? Yeah. So from that standpoint, it's a cloth. But being that the bird has feathers, so the skin is going to have little holes in it. So you would think that maybe that's a reason that you shouldn't be allowed to write tefillin on it because of the holes inside. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush, that it's okay. Kada amri b'marava, and the reason it's okay is because in Eretz Yisrael, they said, kol nekev shad yoyoy veres olav eni nekev. Any hole in a cloth that the dyoy can go on top of without missing a beat is considered that it's not a real nekev, and it's kosher to write for mitzvah. Reb Zeir asked the kasha, bit knafav lahachshir esar. The pasuk's talking about an oilas ha'oif. So again, we're talking about an oif, that's the context of carbon oil. And the Torah says that the knafayim, the wings, the feathers were put on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me, and not only that, the Ar also went. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the Ar is considered Ar, then Lechura, why do I need a pasuk to tell, then why does it go on the Mizbeach? Meaning, if it's considered or, it shouldn't go on the Mizbeach, because we know the halach is that an oilo was skinned. So if an oilo was skinned, then why are we putting the oil? It's a bishlam. If the oil is not oil, that's why it goes on the Mizbeach. Oil is same as kipsarim, so it goes on the Mizbeach. But if you're going to tell me that the oil is oil, you can write a Sefer Torah on it, you see in Perek Shmoyne Shratzim it's considered oil, then why is it that it went on the Mizbeach? Well, Abaya said, what kind of cash is this? Oil hu v'rachman rabbi. Really, it is oil, but it's a pasik. Bichnafav lahachshir esor. You could tell me someone had a different version of this exchange. Rabbi Zeir Afanan Amitin. Rabbi Zeir brought a raya. Bichnafav the rabbi said, you see that the oil went on the Mizbeach. So in this version, Rav Zeira understood what Abaya said in the previous exchange. So he came immediately, not asking Akasha from here, but bringing the Raya from here. And that is, if you're going to tell me that the Or is really Or, then I understand why you need a Pasuk to be Marba that it goes on the Mizbeach. The Or of an oil usually doesn't go on the Mizbeach. The Hifshit. So if it doesn't usually go on the Mizbeach, I need a Pasuk to tell me here it does. Eli, I'm allowed Or, but if you can tell me it's not Or, my Yitzrich, brother, Buye, why do I need a Pasuk? I'm allowed Bias, Bias, Loyal, maybe Cholab Or, maybe really it's not Or, but Yitzrich. But still you need a Pasuk. So I mean, I would have thought, even the Isbe Pirtsi, Pirtsi Maz, you would have thought that even if it's considered Basar, but maybe still it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And the reason is because the holes that we mentioned earlier, maybe it makes it disgusting. And it's not proper to put something disgusting on the Mizbeach. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush. The bottom line is that the Or of an Oif is considered Or. That's why if someone's Chayvel in an Oif on Shabbos, he's going to be Chayev. It's treated like the Shmoyne Shrotzen, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and maybe even according to the Chachamim of yesterday's daf, that the Or is considered real Or. Additionally, you could write Tfilin al-Gabi Or. Aye, if it's Or, why did the Or of the Oilas Ha'oif go on the Mizbeach? There's a special pasuk for that. Boy, my name, Marbrei, the Ravine, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Ma'u duchtev Tfilin al-Gabi Or shol dag tar. So we mention writing Tfilin on Or of an Oif, which is related to our Sugya, it's related to our Mishnah, the Shaila, or at least the first shaila is it considered Or or is it not considered Or? We had a raya from our Mishnah that it's considered Or. So we're going to digress and then digress from our digression. So the question is, can you write tefillin on Or of a kosher fish? Amalei, im yavi Eliyo v'yoymer. Says, well, if Eliyo Navi comes, we'll hear what he has to say. Says the Gemara, mayim yavi Eliyo v'yoymer. What does that mean? Ilei me ida islei Or, ida leslei Or. Doesn't mean we're going to wait for Eliyo Navi to tell us whether or not it has Or or doesn't have Or. Hachazim ida islei Or. Just look at it. You see it has Or, v'oy, that's not. We learned in the Mishnah, Tzomei Sadag, V'oiroi, Matzim V'oil Ames. The halacha is that Or doesn't become Tomei. And being that Or doesn't become Tomei, it can't even become Tomei if it comes in contact with a Ames, which means it could be Matzol other things from an Oil Ames. If something is in the same oil as a Ames, it becomes Tomei. Unless it's being protected. How would it be protected? It's shielded inside something that it itself doesn't become tame from the mace. So, for example, if something's inside a kli cheres that has a tzomid puzzle, so the halach is whatever's inside the kli cheres would be tar. Being that the tzomos of a dog and the oir of a dog themselves don't become tame, so the matzel from the oil mace. So, what do you see from there? You see that the oir is considered oir, because if it's not considered oir, it would be like the fish. The fish becomes tame. Ella, so the Gemara says, we know that the skin of a fish is considered skin. Rather, in Yovei Eliyo V'yoymer, if Eliyo Navi would come and tell us, Ipaska Zua Mamine, Iloi Paska Zua Mamine, we need to wait for Eliyo Navi to tell us whether or not the dag or is kosher to write filling on it, because we need to know whether it was Pasku Zua Mamine or it was Loi Paska Zua Mamine. Pashup Shad is, we have to know that maybe the odor of a fish smells. And because it smells, it's not appropriate for you to write tefillin. That's the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara. The problem is that we need Eliyo Navi to tell us if the fish smells. Smell it. You'll know whether it smells or not. It seems a little bit dachuk. So the Ran and the Chedush Yeram says a different pshat. He says, V'anocha, and I think pshat as follows. K'shabon nochash al chavo, when Nachash was boil Chava, hitel zua maholeho. He put a little zuama inside the body of Chava. Valkola briyoy sheba oilon. And it infected not only Chava, not only the human race, but all creation, all the briyos in the world were affected. So the Ran says like this, Yisrael shamdu al har Sinai, the Yidin who stood at har Sinai, nifsaka zuama mehem. They lost that zuama. And they became cleansed again like they were before this story happened. And not only did they become cleansed, but all the briyos that were at Har Sinai, all the animals that were there, were also cleansed. But says the Ran, there was one species, one group of the animal kingdom that was not present at Har Sinai. The fish. Where were the fish? There was no water. It was in the desert. So there was no fish there. So because the fish weren't there, they weren't zoicha to paska zu hamasam. And that's why the Chachamim weren't sure. Maybe it's not okay to write tefillin on the ur of a dag, because maybe they still have the zuama, not the smelly fish. They still maybe have the zuama that the nachash inserted into Chava that all of mankind lost. After Maimed Har Sinai, but the fish who weren't at Har Sinai, they never lost it. Either way, that was the Shiloh. So the truth is, we're going to go past one of our favorite topics, which is Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi coming, being Poshet Halachas, only because the next Gemara is even one of our more favorite topics. But just one Ha'ara I had, Im Yavi Eliyahu. What's that Lashon, Im Yavi Eliyahu? If Eliyahu comes, not if, it's when. Lekisha Yavi Eliyahu. What's the lashon of Im Yavi Eliyahu? So I was thinking maybe what it means is that we know that Tzadikim had Gili Eliyahu. Certainly the Tanam and the Amiram, there's many Gemaras that say that. And maybe what the Gemara means to say is Im Yavi Eliyahu, if we'll have Gili Eliyahu, Rabbi Shua Malevi and Perek Chelek. I mean, there's so many Gemaras like this. So maybe if Eliyahu and Nabi will come, you'll be able to ask him. But it reminded me of the Chidah that we always speak out in Pesach Inayim and Mesechtes Menachos, where the Chidah brings the Kasha of the Shita Mekubetzes. What does Teiku mean in Shas? Tishbi Yitaretz, Kushyos, Vahavayas. And the Shita Mekubetzes asks that I understand, if all the tzaddikim had Gil Eliyahu, why didn't they sit down and ask Eliyahu HaNavi, all the tekus? And the Shita Mekubetzes, and the Chidah says that he thinks that Eliyahu HaNavi, when he reveals himself, he comes in different phases, different levels of Kedusha, and it could be the Eliyahu HaNavi that was Megal himself to the tzaddikim didn't have the ability to be pushed at all the tekus. But either way, Im Yavi Eliyahu, Im Yavi, it's Lekisha Yavi. It's not if, it's when. Shmuel Vikarna Haviyasvi Aguda de Nahar Malka. This next Gemara is a classic. Shmuel and Karna were sitting together by the bridge of Nahar Malka. Chazinu Lemayu de Kadol Vachiri. All of a sudden they saw waves. It was a clear, beautiful, sunny day, not a cloud in sight. And the next thing they know is the river is going wild. Amale Shmuel Vikarna. So Shmuel turns to Karna and says, I'm going to tell you what's going on. Gavra Rabbi Kosim in Marava. A Gavra Rabbi is coming from Eretz Yisrael, the Chayesh Ben Moe, and he's suffering with his stomach, the kodalu mayalak puli apikame, and the water is protecting him. Meaning, there's a very chashuv person that must be coming now from Eretz Yisrael, and he needs to go to the bathroom, and he is being forced to expose himself, and it's embarrassing because he's out in the open. So what the sea is doing is it's creating this whole tumult. So like this, nobody will be able to see to protect the covet of this gavra rabba. So Shmuel then turns to Karna and very mysteriously says, "Zil toyleya kankane, I want you to go and smell him." Meaning, see who he is, find out if he's a talmud chacham or if he's not a talmud chacham. The obvious question is, Shmuel just told Karna, he's a gavra rabba, so obviously he's a talmud chacham. So the Ein Eliyahu, Rebbe Eliyahu Shik, and the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Eshchai, they both say that Shmuel knew that he was a gavra rabba. He knew he was a big tzaddik, there was no question, but didn't necessarily mean that he was a big talmud chacham. And he wanted to find out whether he's someone that's also a big talmud chacham. So the Gemara says, Azal Ashkech Rav. So Karna went and he met this yid, and you know who it was? It was none other than the great Rav. Amale. So he fahers Rav. So he asks Rav, how do you know that you're not allowed to write tefillin? Only on the Ur of the Behemoth Torah. Amalei, so Rav told him, it says in the parasha of tefillin, and we learn from him in Amutah Beficha, you're only allowed to write tefillin on something that you're allowed to put in your mouth. He asked him another question. How do you know that blood is red? Now, you know blood is red. But how do you know that unless the blood is red, halachically, it's not treated as blood? For example, Damnida has to be read. Shenemar, so he told him, this is also a pasuk. Vayiru moyav mineged es hamayim adumim kedam. It's a pasuk. Then he said, minayim lamila shabayisay makim. How do you know mila is ba'isay makim? So he said, nemar kan or lasoy. Venemar lahalan or lasoy. It says or lasoy by mila, and it says or lasoy with regards to the fruit, the first 3 years. It's early in Aladir. Malahan Dovash Oisapri. Just like they were dealing with Peiroi's fruit, Afkan Dovash Oisapri. And the Mokam Amilo is the place that's Oisapri. And that's how you know it must be Milo. So Abe asked him back. He said, Emo Liboy. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe Orla means the lave. The Chsevu Maltemis Orlas Levavchem. You find the word Orla by lave. And they said, maybe Emo Oznai. Maybe Brismila means on the eighth day you cut the ear off the child. The Chsev Hine Orla Oznam. So he told him back. No, it's not the same word. Donem Orlas Soy Tama. May Orlas Soy Tama. By Brismila it says Arlasai. By Arla, the fruit, it says Arlasai. Those other psukim say Arlas, Arla, Arlosai. That's a more complete word, and it's those two words that are exactly identical, and it's for that reason that's what we learned in Gzeir Shav. Amalei. So Rav, after he passes his faher from Karna, turns to Karna and says, Mashmecha, tell me, what's your name? So he told him Karna. Amalei. Rav told him very mysteriously, Yehei Rava detepek le Karna be'enei. He gave him a klola. He told him that a karna, a horn, Rashi says, a cataract, should come out of your eye. The Gemara says, so a karna goes back, he tells Rav that this Gadver Rabba that came from Eretz Yisrael is not only a big tzaddik, but can gut learn an oichet. So Shmuel invites him into his house. So Shmuel, who understood that Rav was suffering from some ailment, even though Rav never told it to him, but it seems that he had anticipated this. So he brought him into his house and he started feeding him in a way where he was going to help Rav get better. So Uchle Nahama the Sairi, he gave him barley bread, the Kasa the Harsina, that's some fish dish, the Ashke Shikra, little beer, and then he didn't let him go to the bathroom. So like this, he would have shilshol, and this way he would be cured. Rashi says Shmuel was a doctor. We know that from throughout Shas. So he told him, this is what he did. Now, the Gemara says, Rav was suffering. Rav had to go to the bathroom, and he's eating and drinking, and he was very, very uncomfortable. But Shmuel was helping Rav, but Rav didn't realize that. So Rav again uttered a klola. Rav, who never spoke, the Rambam says, utters a klola again. He said, "Man de mitzaren, the person that's being mitzarmi loy lekmu lebni, he shouldn't be zaycha to have sons." The chein hava says the Gemara. Shmuel had daughters. Shmuel never had sons. Obviously, this is a fascinating story. There's more to this Gemara. There's even more to that. There's the rest of the story. We'll get back to this in the Rebbe. Kitanoi, zok the Gemara. So we just discussed, how do you know that Arla is Oysay Makim? So Rav learned it from Xer Shava, Arlas. It says Arlas by Bismila. It says Arlas by the mitzvah of Arlas. The Gemara says, really, it's a machlokes tanon. What this source is. How do you know Milas by Oysay Makim? Never kind of Arlas, never land on Arlas. Malahan, Dovash Oysay Pri Afkan, Dovash Oysay Pri Divir Rabbi Yoshias. Rabbi Yoshias said what Rav said. Nosan and Rav Nosan had a different source. In its Arach, you don't need this. The Pasuk says, V'arl Zachar, Ashulayimo is Bisar Arlasoy. Zachar Arla? Oh. Arla must be in a place, makom shenikur ben zachrus lenakvus, the place that determines whether someone's a boy or a girl. Obviously, it's oisim makom. Tanu rabban koisvin tefillin al gabi or behemet toira. You're allowed to write tefillin on or behemet toira, but gabi or chaya toira, or on the skin of a chaya toira. But gabi or neveilos v'treifa shalem. This is a chiddush. You could also write tefillin on the or of a nevela and treifa. Meaning, as long as it's from a kosher animal, even if the animal itself is not kosher, because you can't eat it, because it's a nevela treifa, it doesn't matter. The or is still going to be okay for you to be able to write tefillin. Additionally, when a krocha is besiron, you can wrap the tefillin with the hair that comes from those animals. Then at first beginning, you could sew it with the sinews. But lochel moish misinai shat tefillin the krocha is besiron. Then at paris begidon. Aval ain't koisim, but you're not allowed to write tefillin there. Gabi arbeh mitmei on a non-kosher animal, meaning an animal that's of a species that's non-kosher, like a chazer. V'loya gabi or chayet meyo or on the or of a chayet meyo the insar chloima gabi or nevela treveshlam. And certainly, you're not allowed to write it on the nevela or the treifa of a chaya tmeya, or of a behema tmeya. Ve'in the krochem besayron, you can't use its hairs. Ve'in the faras begidon, you can't sew with its sinews. Says the Gemara, v'su she'el shal by susi echad, as Rabbi Shua ben Garsi. The following question was asked by a by susi to Rabbi Yeshua ben Garsi. So there were two very prominent sects of apikorsim that were in the Haimish Kreisen and gave the Yidden a lot of tzaras in the times of the Tanan, the Tzedukim and the lesser known by Susan. So this was a by Susi. They asked Rabbi Yeshua Garsi the following question. How do you know you're not right tefillin on an or behemet meh? So he told him the chsiv, what Rav said earlier, midover hamuta beficha. So he asked, so why is it that you're allowed to write tefillin on the or of an avail of a trefa of a kosher animal? He told him, I'll explain to you in a mashal. There were two people that they were both on death row. Echad hargoy melech, one was killed by the melech. The echad hargoy is paklitor. The other one was killed by one of the officers. So the Gemara says, "Eze mehem neshubach, who's more chashav?" And the Yom says, "Hargoy melech, the one that was killed by the king, that's more chashav." So he told him back, "The same thing is true that the
animal that's an aveva utrefa, being that it was killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's actually more chashev in a way. Meaning you're assuming that if it had a shechita, then you should be able to use it for tefillin. But if it's an aveva, it's a trefa, then not. No, just the opposite. Rabbi Shua Garsi told him by Susi. He told him if it had a shechita, it was killed by a man, human intervention. Aveva trefa, that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a little bit of a spin. So he said back, El Miyati Yoichu said, why don't you eat it? Amalei, told him, Atayra, Amr, Lois, Eichlu, Kol Nevela, Vat, Amr, Yoichlu. Amalei, he told him, Kalos, you're saying good. Some say that you see from this Gemara that if someone engages in a tzeduki or a baisusi or a modern day version of such, you just find a way to deflect the question, because obviously it doesn't sound like Rabbi Yeshua HaGarsi was saying anything so profound. It just seems more like he was trying to deflect him. Zok the Mishnah Vayita, Ein Oisin Hilmi V'Shabes. You're not allowed to make Hilmi. So Hilmi is salt water. You're not allowed to make salt water. Aval Ois was Me'amelech. But you're allowed to make salt water. So the Gemara is going to say, I don't understand. You're allowed to make it or you're not allowed to make it. So the Gemara is going to say, Hilmi is when you make a lot, whereas Mein Melech is when you make a little. We'll talk more about this in tomorrow's daf, but for now, if you make a lot, it's not okay, because it looks like you're going to pickle food in this salt water and it's going to remain there for a long time. You're doing it on Shabbos. If it's going to be there for a long time, presumably you won't be able to benefit from it on Shabbos. So it comes out you're preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos, so that's not okay. Wait, we said you're allowed to make a little bit of salt water, and not just that, you can take your bread, you can use it as a dip, and eat it. Rabbi Yossi said, I don't understand the difference. Mein Melech and Hilmi, it's the same thing. One is just more, one is just less. So Rabbi Yossi, I'll tell you what is mutter. If you want to add oil, then this will become okay in the following manner. If you either add the oil to the water first, or l'teich ha-melech, you add the oil to the salt, and then you add the water and the salt. I mean, to make salt water, says Rabbi Yossi, is always going to be awesome. If you add oil, then it's okay, but you can't make the salt water and then add the oil. So you have to make sure the oil is one of the first two ingredients. So water, oil, salt is okay. Or salt, oil, water, that's going to be okay. So the Gemara might come, this Mishnah is a little sussum. We explained it, knowing the Gemara. But in real time, the Gemara is going to try to understand this Mishnah. Again, what did the Mishnah say? Ein oisin hilmi b'shabes. Aval oisu es meha melech v'toivu ben pitoi v'noisein v'toicha tafshol. My comment, Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul hachi comment. Ein oisin meha melech merubin. You're not allowed to make a lot. Aval oisin meha melech muatin. You're allowed to make a little. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, v'aloi hu hilmi ben merubin ben muatin. So Rabbi Yossi is a little unclear in the Mishnah, because really, the Tanakhama made it a distinction between a lot and a little. What did Rabbi Yossi respond? He said, it doesn't make a difference if it's a lot or a little. But he didn't say if a lot and a little is mutter or if a lot and a little is aser. Rabbi Yossi was coming to be machmer and say even a little bit is aser, or he was coming to be mekel and say even a lot is mutter. I'm Rabbi Yehuda lehater. He was coming to be matmer. Middle, like Tani Rabbi Yossi aser, because it doesn't say Rabbi Yossi aser. If he meant to be aser, it would have said Rabbi Yossi aser. I'm like Rabbi, but Rabbi told him, Middle, Tani say veilame melacham mutarin. Rabbi Yossi said in the same, I'll give you an example of what Mein Melech is mutter. What's the example? If you have oil and you put oil in the beginning, Rabbi Yossi lesser. Must be that Rabbi Yossi was coming to say it's always aser. And in fact, Ela my Rabbi said, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan also said lesser. Tanya Nami Haki, it's really a mefurish of rice. Ein oisem Mein Melech merubin. You're not allowed to make a lot of Mein Melech. Losseis l'teicha kvashim, to pickle food, shabateicha gistra, and a broken shard of klicheris. That's what they used to pickle their food. Aval oisu Mein Melech mutin. You're allowed to make a little bit of salt water. Almost verbatim what the Mishnah said. I'm Rabbi Yossi. V'chein b'nei halalu merubin, v'halalu muatim, halalu asurim, v'halalu mutarim. Should quantity make the difference? You know, people are going to say melacha meruba asurim, melacha muatim mutaris. People are going to say, oh, to build something big is asur, to build something small is mutar, to write a lot is asur, to write a little one. Elo elu ve'elu asurim. Again, a brisa that's mefarish, where the Mishnah really left us unsure. So the Brayis is very, very clear. Rabbi Yossi said it's always going to be us. What then is mutar? Rabbi Yossi said, I'll give you an example. As long as you add oil and you do it in the right way, it's in that case, it's going to be okay. Just one more Gemara. Azin Snoin, the Esroig Simen. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Ein oisem Mein Melech Azin. Not let him make strong salt water on Shabbos. My Mein Melech Azin. What does that mean? Rabbi Yosef Bar Abba. The Amri Tarvayu Kol Shabbos Itzalfa Behen. If there's so much salt that an egg would float on top, that's when it's a problem. V'kama. How much is that? Is there a recipe for this? Am Rabbi. Yeah. Trei Tilsi Milcha. It's 2/3 salt. V'tilsamayim. 1/3 water. My Avdali. Why was it made? Whoever made something so salty? Am Rabbi Vol. Lemur Yosef. A certain fish. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Ein Molchin Slainu Beitz B'Shabbos. You not let a salt a radish
or an egg on Shabbos. Now Rashi says this is for a different reason. This is not because it looks like you're preparing for after Shabbos, but rather this is because it looks like it's ma'abed. Ma'abed is one of the lamatas malachas. Again, more about this tomorrow. But ma'abed is one of the lamatas malachas, and not a lot of salt hides. In the tanning process, one of the things that was done is they would salt it. So if you're salting food, so much salt, it's a little ma'abed-ish. And as a result, it's a problem. Rav Chizki Mishmei Dabayom, a tznoin aser, a beitza mataris. A tznoin is aser, a beitza, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva said, tznoin's aser and a beitza is aser. Rav Chizki, in the name of Abaya, said, I agree that tznoin is aser. The beitza, however, is mutar. I'm Rav Nachman said, Mereish Havimol, Lach no pugla. I used to salt a radish on Shabbos. Amina, I thought, I thought I'm spoiling it. The Amr Shmuel pugla chorfi maili. A radish is supposed to be sharp. So if you soak it and you pickle it, then it's taking away maybe some of its edge. And as a result, it's not misakin. If it's not misakin, it's not asr on Shabbos. But then I heard Ula report back from Eretz Yisrael when he came to Bavel, and he said, "B'marav, malchi kishri, that in Eretz Yisrael they used to salt radishes. Oh, mimlach loy malachna, I stopped salting it, and tavule vadi matpelino. However, I still will dip it in salt. Meaning to salt it, that I don't like, but to dip it in salt, that I'm okay with. Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, esrei tzaynu beitza il malik kliposan achitzayin. If it didn't have an outer husk." It'd be impossible to digest it, and we will stop here. Exhale. So the Gemara on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph told a story, which is fascinating because, really, if you think about it in its historical context, it's the first encounter between Rav and Shmuel. There are no two Amoraim that are as synonymous with Shas as Rav and Shmuel. Rav Shmuel, Abaye and Rava, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And the Gemara tells the story of the first time Rav met Shmuel. Rav lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Shmuel was the Rosh Yeshiva Naharda. That was the Mokim Torah in Chutz Laretz. It was in Bavel. And Rav came to Bavel. And the first time he came, Shmuel was sitting by Nahar Malka, together with Karna, and he sees the waves start going crazy, and he realizes the Gavir Rabba must be coming, and he tells Karna, I don't know who this person is, I know he's a Gavir Rabba, but I want to know if he's someone that I want to invite into my yeshiva, someone I want to talk to and learning. So he says, go for Herod. So he fahers Karna, and Karna comes back, and he tells Shmuel, he says, this Gavir Rabba is Shainem all good and learning. So Shmuel invites him into his house, and Shmuel realized that he was suffering from some abdominal condition. Shmuel was a doctor, and Shmuel was afraid that Rav wasn't going to take his refuah, so he went in some roundabout way, decided that he's going to heal Rav. Rav was a little disappointed because he thought that Shmuel was being mitzarim. He was mekalel Shmuel, was Rav, and he said, whoever's being mitzarim, he should not have any boys. V'chein hava, the Gemara says, bunsei the Shmuel throughout Shas, but you don't find anywhere that Shmuel had any sons, and this is the reason. It's because of this klal, it's because of this maisa that happened. This first initial encounter between Rav and Shmuel. It's interesting that even though this Gemara right here is sort of tucked away, where it's just a fun fact, a Gemara that just tells us about the first encounter between Rav and Shmuel, but unbeknownst to many, this encounter would have a profound impact on the relationship between Rav and Shmuel forever, and really it played an integral role in shaping Klal Yisrael for the hundreds of years that would follow. There's a Gemara, Masechtas Bava Kama, this is in Perek Meruba, Daf Pei Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Rav, Ushmul, V'Rav Asi, Iklu L'Beis Shavua HaBen. Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Asi, three great Amayram, they came to a bris. V'Amri Lassam said L'Beis Yeshua HaBen, it was a Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara says, the three of them are about to walk inside the bris, they're about to walk inside the Pidyon HaBen, and there was a question. There was a Shiloh. What was the Shiloh? Who shall walk in first? Who shall walk in second? Who shall walk in third? Once upon a time, there was a very rigid pecking order. If someone was more chashev, he had to go in first. The less chashev a person would never bypass him. So who's the most chashev? Is it Rav? Is it Shmuel? Is it Rav Asi? And we know in the world of halacha, if it's a machloek, it's Rav and Shmuel. Sometimes we pass him like Rav, Be'isser. Sometimes we pass him like Shmuel when it comes to mammon. But this was the question. Rav and Shmuel or Rav Asi? Who should walk in first? The Gemara says, Rav le'ayal kamei de Shmuel. Rav didn't want to walk before Shmuel. Shmuel le'ayal kamei de Rav Asi. Shmuel didn't want to walk in before Rav Asi. Rav Asi le'ayal kamei de Rav. And Rav Asi didn't want to walk in front of Rav. This is your classic catch-22. What are you supposed to do? So they're all three sitting there. You go, no, you go, no, I go, no, you go. And there was an issue over here. So the Gemara says, Ami man nisrach. They said, if one person waits outside, then we may be able to make this work. So the Gemara says, Nisrach Shmuel, let Shmuel wait.
V'nesi Ravi Ravasi. Ravi Ravasi will go in first. Meaning Rav had no problem going in before Ravasi, and Ravasi wasn't going to go in before Rav. So if it comes down to Rav and Ravasi, it was easy. Rav goes in first, and Ravasi goes in second. The problem is if Shmuel is there, it's an issue, because Rav won't go in before Shmuel, and Shmuel won't go in before Ravasi. So let Shmuel just sit on the side, Rav and Ravasi will go in, and then a minute or two later, Shmuel would go in. So the Gemara says, why was that the way they resolved it? V'nisrach Rav and Ravasi. Maybe Rav and Ravasi should have been the waited. So the Gemara says like this, Rav milsa ba'alma hu da'avad leila Shmuel. Because the truth is that you want to know if Rav was right for not wanting to walk in before Shmuel? No. Because Rav was more chashev than Shmuel. He was certainly older than Shmuel. And from that standpoint, certainly he was the gadol. He should have been the one to walk in first. The reason Rav didn't go in before Shmuel, says the Gemara, is mishum ahu maisa. It's because of that story, the latye, where Rav cursed Shmuel and told him, you're not going to have any sons. And it's because of that, Amberi Rav Aleh, Rav took it upon himself to be Mechabit Shmuel. But this is what this came down to. Meaning, really, Shmuel shouldn't have even been considered. It should have been between Rav and Ravasi, and it would have been Rav. Rav had no problem going before Ravasi, and Ravasi had no problem being Mechabit Rav. The reason Shmuel is a factor is because Rav had a special thing with Shmuel, because he was once Mevazah Shmuel, he was Mekalel Shmuel, and he felt that he owed it to him, and he used to be Mechabit Shmuel. So it's because he was Mechabit Shmuel, that's the only reason he didn't want to go in before him. But really, Rav was more chashev. So it made sense when somebody was going to have to sit it out for a few minutes, that Shmuel should be the one, that Shmuel should be the one that's going to sit it out. You see from here that it bothered Rav. Rav had a conscience as a result of what happened in this Maisa. So Rav was Mekalel Shmuel. And obviously you have to understand how Rav was able to do that. Number one, why would he do that? And besides, halachically, are you even allowed to do that? So that's a whole different conversation. But the point is, it bothered Rav, and Rav tried making it up to Shmuel whenever he could. And even though Rav was older than Shmuel, but Rav used to be Mechabit Shmuel, and it was because of that, something as simple as who's going to be the first one to walk into the bris, who's going to be the first person to walk into the pinyan aben, even something as simple as that became a little bit of an issue. So these are two Gemaras, Shabbos, Daf Kuf Ches Amid Aleph, and Bava Kama, Daf Pei Amid Beis. The two Gemaras connect. That's easy. But there's the rest of the story. There's a very important letter that we've mentioned many times in the daf, and that's a letter that was written by Rav Sharira Goyen. Rav Sharira Goyen was one of the Goyenim. In fact, he was Rav Hai Goyen's father. And he sat down and he chronicled Jewish history up until his point. He filled in a lot of the gaps that we didn't have, or people at the time weren't really aware of as it relates to the Tanoim and the Amiram. And he wrote extensively about the Amiram. Ubiyoymid the Rebbe, said Rav Shiri Ragoyan in his Igeres, Nachas Rav LeBavel. Rav descended to Bavel. Rav was a Talmud of Rebbe, and while Rebbe was alive, he went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Bishnas Tov Kuf Lam Mitchana Lamachos Yovam, the Regil Nebei. Lemisparum, at that time it was in the year Tov Kuf Lamet, 530. The Gemara says when Rav came to Bavel, Vahaba Hocha Rav Shela Reisha Be Rabbanan. Rav Shela was the Rosh Hashiva, Vahabi Mikri Reish Sidra Be Bavel, Reisha Be Rabbanan. So Rav arrives to Bavel for the first time. We just learned the Gemara, Dav Kuf Ches Amid Aleph. And who's the Rosh Hashiva? It's Rav Shela. Says Rav Shri Ragoy, Kanoch Nashid Rav Shela, where Rav Shela died, have a Rav Shmuel Hocha. So the two candidates to become the next Rosh Hashiva were Rav and Shmuel. Va'abere Rav Lishmuel Mikabe. But see, there was an issue. They didn't know who should become the Rosh Yeshiva. Shmuel didn't want to become the Rosh Yeshiva because Shmuel said, Rav is much older than me. I can't become the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav is for sure more chashuv. But Rav didn't either want to become the Rosh Yeshiva because he had used to give covet to Shmuel. You know why? Because, and says Rav Shurgen, like you find in the Gemara, Bava Kama Daf Pei. And the rest of that story is based on the Gemara we just learned in Shabbos Daf Kuf Ches. So Rav didn't only not want to walk into a bris before Shmuel, he wouldn't become the Rosh Yeshiva. So there was a stalemate. What are you supposed to do? It's one thing to be standing outside a bris. It's another thing. Who's supposed to be the Rosh Yeshiva? Someone has to be. So what are you going to do? Should it be Rav or should it be Shmuel? Shmuel said, no way. Rav is more chashuv than me. Rav said, I owe it to Shmuel. I will not become the Rosh Yeshiva here after what I did to Shmuel in the Gemara we learned. So the Gemara says, Mishum hachi shofkei Rav l'Shmuel b'Narda. It's for this reason that Rav left Shmuel in the Harda. Rav says, I can't be here. Shmuel, your grandfather didn't in the Harda. You were here well before me. You're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Harda. I'm going to find someplace else to pitch my tent. I'm going to find someplace else to go become a Rosh Yeshiva. So the Gemara says, Visrachak. So Rav scanned literally the entire Bavel. And he said, I need to find a place where I can go ahead and I can teach Torah. So he says he found a place that was called Surah. Also known as, says Rav Shira Goyen, as Masa Mechasya. And he said, this is a perfect place. You know why? Because there was no Torah in Surah. And there was no Torah in Masa Mechasya. But there were so many Yidden living there. He said, this is perfect. This is prime real estate. He says, I can go to a place where there's so many Yidden, and I can go to a place where there's no Torah. I'll teach them Torah. This is the place for me to go. So Rav leaves Nehardo. He leaves the Makam Torah. He goyla the Makam Torah. He was goyla me Makam Torah. Imagine, he goes from Rav Yehuda Nasi in Eretz Yisrael to Shmuel in Nehardo, and he says, you know what? I'm going to go out, and I'm going to find a place where there are a lot of Jews that they know nothing, and I'm going to do Kiruv Rechaikim. I'm going to start educating Yidden. This is what I'm going to do. It's amazing. And the Gemara says, and Rav Shira Goyen says that he went to a place where they didn't just know nothing. They literally knew absolutely, they didn't know Basa V'Cholav. They knew nothing. And says Rav Shira Goyen that if you want to know if I'm right, he says, take a look at the Gemara in Mesechtes Chulin. And the Gemara is in Mesechtes Chulin. Daf. Kuf Yudam and Aleph, where the Gemara says that Rav was in a city, Tatlofush. Rav Ikla lit Tatlofush. And he's in the Shuk, and he overhears a conversation between two women. So one woman was going to make meat for supper, and she was talking to one of her friends and says, tell me, I'm looking for a good recipe to cook meat with milk. Meaning, how much milk would you recommend I cook together with my meat? So Rav is there, he overhears this conversation. He says, Rabbeinu Shalom, you're cooking meat with milk? This is Basa V'Cholav 101. How in the world could you do that? So the Gemara says, Rav stayed in Tatlafush and he started teaching the people there the laws of Basa V'Cholav. The Gemara says, Rav Bika Matzah V'Gadda Bageder. He went and he taught them the laws of Basa V'Cholav. Now, if you look in the Maseres Hashas on that Gemara, Chulin Daf Kuf Yud, Rav Bika Matzah V'Gadda Bageder, so the Maseres Hashas sends you to other places in Shas where you find the same thing. Other place where Rav came to a city, he saw there was nothing going on, and Rav decided that he's going to stay there and he's going to teach the Chevra Torah. The bottom line is Rav and Shmuel couldn't be together. They couldn't walk into a bris at the same time. It was certainly going to be an issue when it came to the bigger decisions, and when Rav Shela passed away and they needed a new Rosh Hashiva, Vezel Zayn the Rosh Hashiva. It was so unclear. Who should be the next one? Should it be Rav? Should it be Shmuel? Shmuel said, Rav's much older than me. I'm not going to become Rosh Yeshiva when Rav is there. Rav said, I owe it to Shmuel because of what happened in Shabbos, Kuf Ches Amar Aleph, there's no way I'm going to be Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav has to leave. So where's he supposed to go? What should Rav do now? So Rav says, you know what? I'm telling you, I'm not going back to Rav Yehuda Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not taking a bunch of Bachrim with me, and we're going to start some fancy. It's not what I'm doing. What I'm going to do is he found a city, Surah, Masa Mechasya, where there were a lot of Yidden. They were never drowning. They knew nothing. And he said, and he taught them the Alachas of Issa the Heter. He taught them the Aleph Beis. He taught them everything that they needed to do. That's Rav. And we've mentioned this in the past, and it always, the more I think about it, the more it gets to me. It's incredible, because when you think of Rav, who is Rav? Rav was Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The Halacha is like Rav in almost every place in Shas. Rav is a Tano Pollock. He's the only Amor in the entire Shas that can take on a... Rav could argue with Rabbi Akiva. He could argue with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is the only Amor. Shmuel can't, Rabbi Yochanan can't. Nobody else could. Rav is the only one that can. Rav, there's a Braisa that talks about the 10 mili de Hasidus that Rav was knowing. Rav was an incredible, Rav is a Mora da Agada. I saw once, I don't remember where, maybe it was in the Seyd Adairis, but that there's no Amor in Shas that has more Talmidim throughout the Gemara that quote things in his name. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. You have so many Gemaras about Rav's great Talmidim, right? Who is Talmidim? Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes, Rav Yosef. All the greats were his Talmidim. But you have many obscure Amiram. Amiram that come up one time in Shas, Amar, in the name of Rav. No one was miming more Talmidim than Rav. But at the same time, so when you picture Rav, what would you think Rav was? You think he's the biggest Rosh Yeshiva of the biggest Yeshiva. Of course that's what he was. And to a degree he was. He was a Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he came to Nahardo, and you see he was Maimit Talmidim Harbe. But Rav was way more than that. Rav taught people Issa V'Heter. I mean, you would think maybe it's beneath his pay grade. It wasn't. Rav went
wanted to tatlofush. He overheard two women talking about they want to go ahead and they want to cook their meat with milk. And Rav felt that the Rav bika matzo begadim again. He didn't send one of his talmidim. He didn't say let somebody else do it. Rav did it bechvayd v'atzmoy. Why did he pick sura? Why did he pick masa mechasya? Because he felt that the oilam needed chizuk. So Rav was someone that taught Torah to the great ones, of course. His talmidim are the gedoyli oilam. But at the same time, he taught to the hamoyinam. He taught Torah to everybody. There wasn't a yid that Rav didn't teach Torah to. And I was thinking that maybe that's why Rav merited to be called Rav. What was Rav's real name? He wasn't born Rav. It wasn't the Yikarish Maybe Yisrael at his bris milah Rav. His name wasn't Rav. His name was Abba. In Shas, he's called Abba Aricha because he was very tall. He was Abba. The Gemara says in Masech Tesnida, Rav was Aruch Bedoyer. He was the tallest man of his generation. He was Mishichmai Vamaila Gavayim Mikalam. The reason Rav was called Rav, says the Rashbam, Mesachtes Bava Basra, Daf Nun Beis Amin Aleph, is the same reason that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Why was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi called Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Because he was Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael. The reason Rav was called Rav, says the Rashbam, is also because he was Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGoyla. I once had an opportunity to discuss this topic with Rav David Yoel Weiss, the Mechaber of the Megadim Chadashim. So I told him, I found this Rashbam, where the Rashbam says clearly that the reason Rav was called Rav is for the same reason that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So he told me it's a Mefurish Rashi, and he quickly got up and he brought a Gemara Masechtes Beah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara asks a Kasha from something Rav said. So Rashi says, why are you asking a Kasha? You never ask Kashas from Amma Yoram. You ask Kashas from Tanoim. You ask kashas on Amma Yoram from Tanan. But where do you find that you ask kashas? Where do you find that you ask kashas from Amma Yoram? So Rashi says, Vavagav de Rav Amayra have, even though Rav was an Amma Yoram, Makshimine. Still we ask from Rav. You know why? Mipnei she Rabban shel kol b'nei ha-goyla haya b'dayroi. He was Rabban shel kol b'nei ha-goyla. But the point is, Rav was Rabban shel kol b'nei ha-goyla. That's what. So why was Rav more Rabban shel kol b'nei ha-goyla than Shmuel? Why more than Rabbi Yochanan? Why Rav? Rav? Rabbi Yochanan not? Why was it Rav? It's because Rav taught Torah to everybody. Maybe that's the reason. It's because Rav taught Torah to the great ones, and Rav taught Issa v'Heter to the women that were in the Shuk and Tatlafush. And that's how you become Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGoyla. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGoyla. He's the author, not of the most difficult. He wrote the Mishnah. Every little kid learns Mishnayos. Who doesn't learn Mishnayos? Mishnayos is Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Everybody learns it. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is Rabbeinu because he taught Torah to everybody. Rav was someone that taught Torah to everybody. He taught Torah to the great ones, and he taught Torah to everybody. And the truth is, this segues into a whole nother shmooze that maybe we'll get into in the coming dafin, if time allows to it. But just one kinach to end with, and that is Sheva Levi's job is Yoru Mishpatecho LeYakov V'Sayroscho LeYisrael. Sheva Levi, in addition to all the responsibilities that they had, and I think it's worth maybe finding time in the next few days to go into this in greater depth, but Sheva Levi's job was Yoru Mishpatecho LeYakov V'Sayroscho LeYisrael. A Rebbe is a Yoru Mishpatecho LeYakov V'Sayroscho LeYisrael. So I was thinking, Klal Yisrael, sometimes it's called Yaakov, and sometimes they're called Yisrael. When are they called Yisrael? When they're Beruma Milo, when it's Kisarisa. When it's Yaakov defeating Sarai Shal Esav, that's when we're called Yisrael. When the Yidden stood at Har Sinai and they said Nasav and Ishmael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Bni Bechayri Yisrael, that's when they're called Yisrael. But when the Yidden do Averois, and when the Yidden are in a Shval Hamatziv, when it's Eicha Yashva Badad, when they're in a situation where it's Bonai V'loi Bonecha, when the Yidden are not in a good place, then they're called not Yisrael. Then they're called Yaakov. Sheva Levi's job was Yoru Mishpatecho LeYaakov V'Sayroscho LeYisrael. They taught Torah to Yaakov and they taught Torah to Yisrael. They taught Torah to Yisrael, that's Torah on the highest level, and they taught Torah to Yaakov. Torah to Yaakov, even people that don't even know the basics, but to go out and to reach out and to be Makariv. Either way, I think this is a little bit of the rest of the story. Shabbos, Daf Kuf Ches, Bava Kama, Daf Pei, the Igeris of Rav Shri Ragoyen. So you can learn this Gemara, certainly in a Daf Yoimi context, and go through it so quickly. Yeah, there was a story, Rav, he was Makalel Shmuel, and you can get involved in all the Minchas Chinuchs and how he was allowed to be Makalelim, and there's plenty. There's a lot of raid on all this, and it's all Gevaldik, but you can miss something so fundamental. This would shape
The setup, the geographical setup of Yiddishkeit. Because Rav eventually went to Surah, and Rav set up a yeshiva there. And the Gemara says that when Rav sent up a yeshiva in Surah, you know what happened? People would travel from Naharda, where Shmuel was the Rosh Yeshiva, to Surah, where Rav was the Rosh Yeshiva. It became Shioris Mitzuyos Lekaimai. The Gemara says that Osino Atzmenu Bebavel Keres Yisrael Legitim Michiyasa Rav Bebavel. Says Rashi, now when Rav came to Bebavel, it's when Rav went to Surah. It's when he went to Surah, now that we're going to be yeshivas all over the place. It's from that point on that Bavel would become filled with Torah. It would change all because of this little beginning where Rav was Mekalel Shmuel. He felt guilty, and as a result, he didn't want to become the Rosh Yeshiva. Shmuel didn't either want to become the Rosh Yeshiva. So if that's the case, he needed another yeshiva. And at first glance, maybe it looked like a pirud. Maybe in real time, people were uncomfortable with what happened. But then looking back in hindsight, it was one of the most important events in Jewish history, as it very much shaped the way Torah would be learned, specifically in Bavel, for hundreds of years to follow.